Morning, everybody. We got a full house today. A couple of notes just from the game. Had our players of the game, and offensively it was Joe Thomas. Defensively it was Eric Wright. On special teams it was Phil Dawson. And on our practice player of the week was Pat Murray, offensive lineman. Thought he's given a really good look throughout the course of the season, and thought he earned it for his work throughout the course of the year. In terms of the game, met with the players this morning. I'm sure they didn't know what to expect in terms of how long the meeting go or anything like that. But we did watch game tape and watched some of the plays from yesterday and some of the obvious better plays. There weren't a lot of correcting going on in that meeting, but just wanted them to appreciate what each side of the ball did to contribute to the victory, and talked a lot about the progress that they've made and how much I appreciate that and the coaching staff appreciates it, and the importance of being able to take these lessons both individually and collectively and apply them moving forward. So with that, open up to questions.
Do you know yet when you're going to meet with Mike Holmgren?
I have not scheduled it. Meet with the coaches here in a little while and go through, have them start working on their end of the season evals and summaries, and we'll just play it by ear from there.
Eric, do you feel like you're going to have to get into a convincing argument with him, or you're going to have to sway him for him to keep you, or what's your gut tell you right now as to where you're at?
It's not going to be my approach. I think it's a function of answering the questions honestly and really having a good, honest, open discussion about things that we did this year, anticipation of how things operate moving forward, and just more two guys sitting down talking about things as they are and things as they will be.
Message to you about the way you guys finished up?
It was just congratulations and on a great win and good finish, so things along those lines.
Do you think it took a while for players to really buy into your coaching methods or your system or whatever?
I wasn't selling. You know, it wasn't really a function of selling what we do, because we believe in it. And I think it was more a understanding of the why we do certain things, why we expect certain things, why it's important to do it the right way all the time. And as you learn about each other, as the group learns about each other, then you're able to continue to do good things.
Do you think it took them a while to understand why?
There were a lot of points during the season where we had, I thought, some really good things happen in different areas, but collectively wasn't what we needed to do. Even the first Cincinnati game going into overtime and really that game coming down to 7 seconds left in overtime against a team that eventually won the division, I thought that was a lot closer to where we needed to be. Lost a lot of players throughout the course of the season through injuries. Different guys had to step in. So it was a lot of flux throughout the year.
It's not a situation you're going to go in, Mike, and try to interview for a job. Is it kind of a helpless situation for you? Or?
No, that's not going to be my approach at all. I have a job, and I'm proud of the job that we've done, and I respect Mike. I respect the things that he's done as a coach, and he's got a really impressive record. And I think that he and I have talked before, albeit not as in depth as say a guy like Bill Parcells, but you appreciate the depth of knowledge, the depth of experiences, and I think it's more a function of just sitting down and going through the different questions, the different situations, the history, you know, things like that. That's what I'd anticipate.
Did Randy give you any indication or clue whatsoever that, or any assurance that this might go in the right direction?
That's really not what was the exchange there. I think it's really a function of sitting down with Mike and figuring that out.
You joked around the other day about no bus ride to Hartford. But if you had to do it over again, would you have handled the quarterback situation differently than you did?
No, I wouldn't have, because there were two players that both had really strong arguments to start, and I wanted to set up a situation that was fair to both guys. And I don't think there's anything wrong with creating an opportunity for two really good players to make their case to start at quarterback for this team. And they both had strong cases, and it was a new system. There was a lot of learning. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I'm not. I think both of them grew. I think both of them learned. I think both of them had to play throughout the season, even when Brady got hurt at the end, and DA came in. So it was designed to set up an equal opportunity for two guys who deserved an equal opportunity. Well, that's the great thing about Mike Holmgren coming in. He knows a lot about quarterbacks, and he'll give a lot of insight on that, and I'll be excited to listen to his thoughts on it.
Do you have a gut feeling one way or the other? Oh, go ahead.
What changed? She went from 1-11, nearly dead last in a lot of statistical categories, at times very difficult to watch the product on the field, for the last 4 weeks of the season. Very fun, winning games, offense is scoring points, fun, entertaining to watch. What was the defining moment that kind of turned things around in a positive direction as far as the actual results go?
There wasn't a defining moment. It was, and I know we've talked about this quite a bit, it's a collection of moments. It's a collection of work. And talked a lot about this experience that I had in the past, where you plug away, everybody puts in, everybody makes good decisions, everybody's working on their weaknesses, everybody's trying to understand what we're doing, and it's not like you just add one ingredient and suddenly it takes off. It's everybody doing that each day, and as you do that, you get better and you play better. You know, just look at the amount of turnovers that we had in the last 8 games versus the first 8 games. And we talked about that quite a bit in here. And there's several statistics like that where we eliminated self-inflicted wounds offensively. We eliminated some of the mental errors that we were making defensively. And, you know, it takes a while. It just doesn't happen overnight. But I'm proud of the way the guys took advantage of the whole season, where it would have been very easy to pack it in. And it was easy. And it happened. We've all seen it happen. They didn't do that. I think the guys in the locker room today, very good feeling in there, because they enjoy playing with each other. It's good people. And they understand how important that is, working together. And it's not golf. You know, we all have to work together.
Do you have a gut feeling on what Mike will decide?
No, I really don't.
Him in the last couple of weeks since he, I guess, came on board?
Usually once a week over the last couple of weeks.
Yesterday, I guess all coaches have said this on the air, there were some things, mistakes you made. You look back, anything that stands out?
There's definitely some things that I wouldn't share publicly, but I'll definitely share with Mike in terms of decisions that we could have made, opportunities that we had, and either didn't take advantage of or didn't move quickly enough on, that I think in retrospect I would have done differently. And there's been I think there's been a lot of talked about this a while ago, the ability to over communicate and make sure that you talk about it a lot, you try to get those guys understanding it, but I could have probably done a better job with that too. Different situations that come up, being able to, if I didn't feel like it was headed in the right direction, be able to even move it forward better.
Eric, how tough is it to even be standing here talking about this? I mean, you must feel like you just got here.
It's not that tough. I like spending time with you guys. You know that. It's always it's great. No, it isn't that tough. These things happen, and it's just the way it works. Sometimes somebody comes in, and your situation changes. And
just need more time. I mean, obviously the team's turned around and won 4 in a row.
We are going to be arguing.
Is that you just need more time? You're on the right track.
Really, I guess that's I don't know how to say it any differently, but that's not going to be my approach. I feel good about the things that we did. There was a rationale to all the decisions. Things were thought out, and some were right, some were wrong, but there was a reason why we did the things that we did. And I think that Mike has a lot of experience. He's been through really good years, some years that weren't as good. He appreciates the things that go into that, and it's just a function of him looking at it and feeling comfortable with the direction we're heading and the idea of us heading there together, and I respect him as a person and as a coach, and it's good when you can sit down with another coach and talk through ideas.
Are you eager or anxious to know what is going to happen?
I think it's more for the assistant coaches than anything else. I'd like to get some clarity for them because I think they're a good group of coaches and, they're guys that I know that I care about, and I want to make sure that whatever the decision is that I can help them in any way possible.
Why would you have that same anxiety, that's the right word, about your own future?
Because I don't think it's really fair to be worried about myself when I've got all these other guys with families and kids and who I'm responsible for bringing here and who I care about. I think it'd be selfish to be worried about myself when got a group of guys that their lives are going to be dramatically affected one way or the other. So I want to make sure things are right for them.
As last week, there's a report on NFL Network that, Mike wouldn't keep you around because of the way you treat employees and players and things like that. So my question to you is, we see the way that you are with players and the way that you are with us. We don't see something like that. So, is there something going on behind closed doors that's dramatically different than what we're seeing?
I think that any employee that feels that way should set up a meeting with Mike and talk to him and tell him about the things that they don't appreciate. And I'd love for him to do that. I don't think that there's ever been any attempt to belittle someone or to treat someone poorly. I think that's wrong. I don't think that it's anything that I've done. And reports like that, they're disappointing. I think there's been other reports that have come out that have been flat wrong, and they still have legs.
Nobody wants to be labeled as old, whatever it is, caricatures and all that stuff. Does that bother you that those things are out there and you can't seem to put out the fire on them for whatever reason?
It only bothers me when it's people that don't know what they're talking about, that have never met me, that have never spent any time with me, that write based off of somebody else's story that's incorrect. If that's what you feel at the end of the day, then you have every right to feel that way. But take the time to pick the phone and see whether or not it's true. Well, you're going to write a story, call. Get the other side of the story. Spend some time. See if it's true. And if it is at the end of the day, then I can live with that. But, don't write it and not go through the effort to see whether or not it's correct.
When you talk about your coaching staff, is that an area where you and Mike Holmgren are going to have to reach an agreement about or discuss?
I'm sure it'll be a lot of different areas. I'm sure it'll be all encompassing. I mean, there's so many different things that go into running a team, and especially in Mike's position, where it's not just the football side, but it's the organization. So whether it's football, medical, video, operations, IT, and they all play a role in the functioning of the team, and they all have decisions related to them. So. I like my staff. I think that they're good coaches. I think that they're smart guys, varying levels of experience in their current roles. I feel good about the staff. I think like anything else, you go through an end-of-the-year evaluation. Typically, I'd meet with them at the end of the year and tell them things that I think they did well, things I think that they can improve. And it's give and take. That's where they tell me the same things and make suggestions. We have our end of the season summary, after action report, where they'll make suggestions as to the things we can improve. And it's never the type of meeting that's set up to place blame or anything like that. It's, hey, these are areas that I wasn't really happy with. I think you can improve in. And if they have any ideas, you know, I appreciate their honesty, too.
Is to the turnaround in New England, you were a part of that. A year in now, 5-11, Ashton is coming in as far as where this organization and team is. Now that you're a year in, there's been some change in turnover. Obviously, there'll be some more from a roster standpoint. But from your perspective, a lot of people want to know, can this team win next year? I mean, do you think that you kind of got over that hump in the last 4 weeks of the season, and next year you can kind of hit the ground running and really focus on winning football games as opposed to maybe building for the short and the long term?
Well, I think that we've grown a lot. I think a lot of it depends on the draft, free agency, injuries. There's so many variables that go into the next year. Being able to take the lessons that we learned this year, apply them to next year, do it a lot sooner than we did this past season. I think Mike said it in his press conference. You gotta see how it goes.
Well, you know for a fact that Mike Holmgren is at least going to come in here and bring in his own general manager. Mike has had a way of doing things for all of his years in the NFL, and then he's going to bring in somebody that probably does things the way that he does them. The job description for you will change, probably from what it was when you first took over, when you were, mostly in charge. Are you going to be comfortable with that, and are you going to be super comfortable with it if, these guys are, installing a whole West Coast offense, maybe even a 4-3 defense? Can you go along with all of that?
I think that'll be a lot of our discussion. I have no problem with bringing in smart people that are committed to the same thing, and that's winning. And it's always valuable to have someone to bounce ideas off of. It'll be the first time where I've had someone like Mike who's gone through experiences that I'll go through to be able to say, what do you think? How do you want to deal with this? How did you deal with it? What's your impressions of this area? We can go through area by area of a team and he's probably faced that situation. He's probably dealt with that player problem. And if he hasn't, maybe there's something that he can draw on. That's a huge asset, having that in the building. And it's rare. I mean, I had it to some degree with Bob Sutton and Bill Callahan in New York, who are both former head coaches, where I could sit down with those guys and say, well, what do you think? And this is what we're doing. How did you guys handle it? And that could be anything from OTA schedules, training camp schedules. And there's a million things, travel, off-season program, that oftentimes you're working with a GM or you're working with somebody that hasn't had to make those decisions, doesn't necessarily know the impact of a minor thing, how that could affect the group, doesn't always get morale of the group, doesn't always get the value of practicing outside versus inside, pads or no pads. There's so many things that as a coach you go through that you wish you had someone to call all the time and say, what do you think? What did you do?
Eric, how will you feel if Holmgren and the GM to be named later basically say, look, the draft is ours?
Draft the what?
Yeah, they say the draft. We're going to do the draft, Eric, you know. How will you feel about that if basically they're kind of controlling the draft and player procurement?
Yeah, I'd really like to cross that bridge when we come to it, Terry, just because I don't think there's any team in the league where the head coach and coaching staff doesn't have input on the draft. And I think it's like anything else. It's a collaborative effort. So, but in terms of what that dynamic will be, I don't know. I don't know what it'll be.
This could be a playoff contender next year.
I mean, it's hard to sit here a day after the season and make those types of predictions. I think that what I can say is really happy with the steps we've taken. And there's a lot of things that we have to do well next season and in the off season. And each year is different.
Did all this, like the extra authority or whatever you might have had,
was any of that, compared to last year, the Jets, was it daunting at all, or maybe overwhelming more than you thought it might have been at the start?
Like I have said before, it's good to have people that you can bounce ideas off of, that you can delegate to, and that's a positive thing. I thought I worked well with Mike in New York, and you know, we had the benefit of Terry Bradway being there too, who had been the GM and his experience, and I think all that stuff is great. The more people you have that they can add positive feedback or add feedback, even if it's not positive, but it helps you grow, I think that's good.
Yeah, but since you didn't have that here, that's what I'm asking. You didn't have that here at the start. Is that overwhelming at all?
It was busy. But you just kind of go move forward with it and try to make the best decisions you can.
First days after the season, you know, usually if there's coaching changes around the league, they occur then. And you talked about wanting to have some clarity for your assistants so that they know. It's 1:45 on Monday. By the end of the business day tomorrow, would you like to have some kind of clarity so that these guys can either get into market for some of those jobs or stay here and know where they stand?
No, I'm not putting any kind of timetable on it. The one thing I do know is they're really good, and they'll be well sought after if that were the case.
If you're asked something to the effect of, what do you need to win now? How would you answer that question? As you look at this team right now, what's the most important thing that you think that this team might be missing heading into next year?
I'd probably say, what do you think we need to win now, Mike? Seriously.
Peter King, what you say? This place was a mess when we got here, and it's not a mess anymore. What do you mean by that?
I mean that we had 4 draft picks. limited money to move forward in free agency. I pretty much had to cut someone to sign someone. Building had to be redone. Money committed that couldn't do anything about. There were a lot of other areas that had to be addressed, and took time, took a lot of energy, it took a lot of hard work, and we've made a lot of strides in those areas.
From a big picture standpoint, is there one thing you haven't been able to address that you wanted to?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that still need to be improved as we go, and they're important things, and there'll be things that I share with Mike, whether or not I'm here or not, that I think need to be addressed, and need to be addressed in a serious way, in a definitive way.
If you were mandated you have to hire a West Coast coordinator to run the offense, how would you react?
I mean, I don't really know what that means. I mean, we had Brett Favre in New York. We ran a lot of West Coast plays. He was about as West Coast a quarterback as you can get. And we adjusted a lot of things to help him be successful and to help us be successful. And it was great having him because he added some stuff that I thought was good for our offense. And Bill Callahan, one of the reasons I did hire him was his background in that area. And ideally, you develop the Browns offense. And, you know, it may have influences of you know, one system more so than another system. But I think there's real value in a lot of different systems. And if you can take the best of all those things and have players that are flexible enough to run those things, then you've got a really good situation. It's the same thing defensively. I don't know if there's when we run the 3-4, but the 3-4 is that's just a starting point. What you build off of it is it can be anything. It can be the 4-3. It can be the 46, it can be anything you want to make it because it's a balanced defense that has great flexibility. That's why I like it so much is, yeah, that's how many D linemen and linebackers, but what do you want to create out of it?
Keeping your staff aligned in the sand for you?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that there's what we've always been committed to is flexibility in the players and flexibility in the system. And I don't think that's changed since we first got here. And as you guys have seen throughout the course of the season, the defense has changed each week. The offense has changed each week. Sometimes it's a lot of 22 personnel. Other weeks it's a lot of 12 personnel or 11 personnel. And sometimes it's more play action. Sometimes it changes. And you have to because the strengths of Kansas City were different than the strengths of Oakland. They were different than the strengths of Pittsburgh. So unless you just want to run sort of a cookie-cutter vanilla system, you got to have smart players, flexible players, and the same with the coaches in the system.
Mike does decide to go in a different direction. Given the way that you finished here and what you did in New York, are you confident that you'd be a head coach again? And if not, would you be happy being a coordinator again, and would you want to work again right here next year?
And I haven't gone into all those different scenarios. I haven't really done that. I mean, my next thing, whether I'm here or not, is probably a trip to Disneyland with the boys. It's what we do after every season. So it's the next thing I'm looking forward to.
Eric, when Kokinas was let go, you anticipated having a say-so in the search for the next GM. Have any of your talks with Holmgren involved candidates for GM and your input on them?
No, it's been more operational things that were going on, and as opposed to any of those types of items.
Does that disappoint you that you don't appear to be having any input on the next GM?
No, I think that Mike understands the challenges that you face each week as a coach, trying to keep the team focused and. I think we did a good job of that, and that was the most important thing.
If I were to ask you, who's your core guys? You know, your brother-in-law likes to talk about core players, so who's your core players?
Wow. I think that David Bowen said it the best. I think that a lot of them now reflect our core characteristics, and that's why I don't talk about it with them anymore, is because they've become that. And the difference between do you know what they are and are you those things? But I think there's been some nice evolution of relationships. You know, Lawrence Vickers and I didn't always see things exactly the same way. But I think as we got to know each other and work together, you know, I appreciate him and the things that he's done so much. And I think he appreciates why I pushed him so hard at different points. And that's what's really satisfying as a coach, is to be able to do those types of things. You know, Braylon sent me a text the other day. You know, that's not uncommon. It's nice to hear from them. I'm happy that they're in the playoffs, and you know, it's just the evolution of relationships and teaching and coaching.
You refer to Parcells every now and then, and one of his favorite sayings is, "Your team is what your record is." Okay, so your 5-11 record, regardless of how you got there, was this a good season or a bad season on your
I think that Parcells is exactly right, and you know, I'm happy we're the second team since Parcells did it in New England. Start 1-11 and then finish 5-11. And it's nice of him to call and talk to me about that when he did. And you know, I learned a lot from him. And you're 5-11, but we've won 4 straight and we've grown. And you know, there's things that I think as we continue to grow can be real stepping stones to a positive future.
Has he given you any insight into, you know, obviously when he took over in Miami, he, you know, fired Cam Cameron after 1 year. Has he said to you, look, no matter what you do, this guy might want to bring in his own people?
You know, we've talked about a lot of different things, and he's just talked more about the approach and the discussions, and he's got great insight. He's been on all different sides of the fence.